In December last year, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse handed down its final report. After tens of thousands of respondents over 5 years collected was over, it became evident that Australia's child protection system had failed a staggering number of Australians. In a step toward paving the way forward, now active legislation in New South Wales allows for judges to explain to a jury that victims of sexual assault may struggle to remember the details of the trauma they have faced. And to explain this more is John Anderson, Associate Professor of Criminal Law and Evidence from the University of Newcastle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what is the significance of this change?
Well, it is a significant change because the findings during the Royal Commission were that defence lawyers, particularly in cases of sexual assault matters, raised inconsistencies in complainants' evidence in most cases, and about 90% of cases. So there's a question about the perception of whether an inconsistency or a difference, as it's expressed in the legislation, between versions that the complainant of a sexual assault case attests to in their witness testimony is a sign of whether or not they're telling the truth, basically. So this piece of legislation allows a judge to inform the jury that experience shows and that quite a lot of research into this has shown that people may not remember all the details. They may be affected by trauma. It affects them differently, and that can include how they recall things. And it's also actually common for there to be differences in accounts of these types of offences, and that both truthful and untruthful accounts may contain differences.
And what have been some of the difficulties with prosecuting sexual assault cases in the past?
Well, I think one of the things is the initial problem is the reporting as to whether or not people actually report them. Going through with a sexual assault prosecution, of course, involves a trauma in itself in relation to the complainant having to give evidence in court and being subject to a cross-examination. There is the sorts of things that come out, of course, in sexual assault cases are, you know, very personal, and I think people find that difficult to want that sort of dragged out in the court. So there's been a sort of a movement, I suppose, over the last 10 to 20 years for procedural changes in sexual assault trials that try to accommodate and reduce the trauma for complainants. And this is another step in that direction as a particular response to what came out in the Royal Commission.
Now, for those maybe less familiar with the proceedings of court, are there other instances of types of cases that a judge will give context like this to a jury?
There are very few sorts of cases, I suppose, that have this type of profile. I think we've seen particular procedural changes in relation to sexual assault offences that we don't see in relation to any other types of offences. There are, of course, categories of people who give evidence that are classified as vulnerable witnesses, so, you know, particularly children. so that can be across the board. I mean, you can have vulnerable witnesses in any sort of criminal case, but a lot of the time, the procedural legislation for making these accommodations is in relation to a prescribed sexual offence. Well, that's how we say it in New South Wales, that it's a prescribed sexual offence, and that goes back to the crimes legislation. And it's restricted to these types of offences. So, yeah, we don't see it in relation to a lot of other offences, although we do see witnesses, depending on, you know, their age and their particular vulnerability, being classified as vulnerable. But yes, it's this type of offence that really attracts these sorts of measures.
I'm speaking with John Anderson from University of Newcastle about new legislation in New South Wales that allows juries to be educated on the impacts of sexual assault. So has this legislation or this concept been used in other parts of the world?
Yes, there has been some instances in other parts of the world where this type of thing happened. I think we're behind sort of Scandinavian countries, for example, but also some of the common law countries like Canada and New Zealand have moved in this direction for more trying to improve, I suppose, or trying to make the experience for people giving evidence less traumatic and less confronting. There have been lots of changes to, you know, not having to be in the courtroom, but, you know, you can give your evidence by closed circuit television. There were changes to allowing defendants to cross-examine victims if they weren't legally represented. So there's been a number of changes incrementally over a number of years, and we have followed other countries in that regard. But some of the things we've done have been led through, well, things like the Royal Commission, but also sort of changes in the way that the experience of people giving evidence in court has been recognised, particularly through a lot of psychological research, which has been international.
And how, in actuality, in a case, is the discrepancies between accounts managed?
Managed. So I think it's a difficult question in the sense that when someone makes a prior inconsistent statement, it can be a sign that there is, you know, a problem in regard to whether or not they're telling the truth, whether or not they can be believed as a witness. So there are also questions around whether or not their memory has been affected by, you know, traumatic events or the experiences they're going through. So it's, I suppose, in the past, It's been sort of, I would say, drawn out as a factor that an inconsistency is a factor that juries, when they're making their decisions, would take into account to say whether or not they should give weight to particular evidence or they should have doubts about what is being said. This amendment to the Act is really to sort of, I suppose, level the playing field in the sense that the judge can now tell the jury that the experience and research shows that inconsistencies and differences in someone's evidence is not necessarily a sign that it's an untruthful account, and that they should carefully consider that. They're not being directed to say that the inconsistencies are meaningless. It will depend on the particular case, but it's a move to say that, you know, you can't have this blanket consideration that just because someone has a difference in their account of events doesn't mean they're not telling the truth.
Now, you mentioned before that one of the difficulties in prosecuting sexual assault cases in the past has been the idea of reporting. Are you hopeful that this new legislation will endear people more likely to come forward and report?
Yeah, I think it's another move in changing court procedures to more readily facilitate a better experience, I suppose, would be the best way to say, for someone who's coming to give that sort of evidence. It's never going to be a good experience, but I think these sorts of things can encourage reporting at the front line if people are contemplating whether or not they should actually report an incident that has occurred to them. Thinking ahead and what's going to happen to them in the courtroom is probably something that often might, you know, turn them off doing that. But when you've got these sorts of adjustments or these sorts of changes that are now recognising experiences in a different way, I think it will encourage more people to report. And we have seen, even with other procedural changes that have happened in the last 5 to 10 years, that reports have increased, and they're up, 12%. But they, but I think, there is still a concern about serious levels of underreporting. So these sorts of things are incremental moves in the right direction for that to be addressed.
Well, John, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
John Anderson there, Associate Professor of Criminal Law and Evidence from University of Newcastle, speaking with us about legislative change in New South Wales that changes the way sexual assault cases are treated in court. And if you or someone you know is impacted by sexual assault, domestic or family violence, call 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or visit 1800respect.org.au.